there's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
And we are live just a few minutes late because StreamYard was kind of hanging up and wouldn't go live for some reason, so I had to kick the button three or four times and wait. Seems like we are live now. If someone in the live chat could give me a heads up as to whether you're hearing me well, if that caused any other grief, it looks to me on my end like everything is going out signal 5x5. So if there are any problems, please let me know. And I will tell you, if everybody says it's good and you're one person that says it's bad, then that must be on your end. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today? From the title, you can tell, and I'm sure this is going to be like one of the best attended episodes of the year because you guys like politics even though you say you don't. Biden crashes and SCOTUS lashes. SCOTUS, for those that live under a rock somewhere, is the Supreme Court of the United States. POTUS, SCOTUS, FLOTUS. They've just made an acronyms for everything, but when you're making a title for a podcast and you don't want it to be too long and clunky, those things work out. So that's what we called it. And it sort of kind of rhymes. So that's always fun. So what I mean by that is that Biden, in case, again, you do live under a rock somewhere, had a bad debate performance. Like, it wasn't even a debate performance. Biden had a public display of dementia. That there's no way around it. And the way I will tell you that I know that's to be true, my son, who's in his mid-30s, is probably one of the most disinterested human beings about politics and in general news that there is. If it ain't on ESPN, he doesn't care. The man is focused 100% on sports and sports ball games and his family and doesn't give a rip about anything else other than as it comes into the periphery. Well, my granddaughter has birthdays, so we had birthday out dinner with her and the family last night at Texas Roadhouse. And I asked my son if he bought, I said, I know you're not interested, but did you bother watching? He goes, no, I didn't watch, but everything I needed to know, I knew within 10 minutes of it being over with what I saw on the internet. And he was like, it's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster. And there is no way in hell this man's going to be president. That's my son who doesn't care. And so that's what people who are actually independent of tribalism saw. And there's no way around it. But there's a bigger message that should come from it. And this is an opportunity not to allow the great Trumpkin to rise again, which unless some sort of asteroid level event happens is now what's going to happen. That's now what's going to happen. There's a much bigger opportunity in this to wake people up. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians, whatever. Anybody that's still in the matrix, it doesn't matter what initial they put after their name. You trust government and you trust media, you're still in the matrix. Now, you might be where you're at the edge of getting out of the pod and pulling the thing out of your head and going down a slime chute. The people you know that are that close to it, there's an opportunity here. That's a big part of what we're going to talk about today. And the other thing that we're going to talk about today is some good things that happened. The Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS lashes, has issued one particular opinion that is one of the best things to happen for liberty in modern history. Most of you, you've never been alive when something bigger, you might as big, but not bigger than this. And it's the Chevron deference decision. And because it has a weird name like that, most people don't really understand. They don't understand how monumentous this decision was. It kind of flew under the radar. Nobody really paid attention to it until they didn't get the answer they want. Now they're all absolutely losing their shit. This is something, this is how you know if something's good or not. When MSNBC, right, CNN, CBS News, Reuters, the AP, et cetera, are losing their shit about something, then it's probably a good thing for you and a bad thing for government and media. And so we'll talk about that today as well. This is going to be an interesting discussion. Here's my promise to you. If you're just tuning in now and you're like, I don't really need to have Biden's debate disaster or the Supreme Court stuff rehashed, I will give it to you differently than anybody else will. There's very seldom on this show, since it's a podcast that lives for prosperity, that I am talking about things that just happened, but another Supreme Court decision just dropped, and I was hoping it would drop before this, and this one is being completely misconstrued. I'm going to explain it to you in a way that MSNBC, Fox, et cetera, the Libertarian Institute, all the people you follow on social media, nobody's explaining what just happened in the way that it actually happened with the Trump immunity case, because it's not a Trump immunity case. It's a presidential immunity case. And it doesn't mean what either side says it means at all. So I'm going to give you the Jack Spear go redneck hippie duck farmer, no bullshit version of the most important things that are going on in our country today. And then I'll try to leave you with some advice as to what to do about all of this shit, because this has overall been a good week for liberty. It doesn't mean the problems are going away by a long shot. All of that in just a moment. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is Start9 Embassy Servers. I'll tell you one thing's not going away. Government surveillance of your activities on social media, your instant messaging, phone calls, everything else. How about you take back your tech? How about but you take back your technology in a real way with Start9 Embassy Servers? A little box, big enough you can hold it in one hand. You plug in, you install some apps on your phone, you follow some instructions. Next thing you know, all your files are stored completely encrypted, accessible anywhere from anywhere in the world over Tor, and no one can get to them but you or other people you allow. You can have end-to-end encrypted messaging, and you could literally, like, send a third line out to the NSA. They're not fucking decrypting it. I'm sorry. It's not happening. So, and if they do, they'll eventually find out that your aunt has a new cat or something, and I like them to waste their resources. You want to be in control of your ability to send and receive money. You can run BT Pay Server, you can run a Bitcoin node, and you can run a Lightning node with a Start9 Embassy Server. You don't need to do all that. There's still other cool shit you can do with Start9. Check it out again. If you can operate your phone, you can operate a Start9 Embassy Server. It's just not as hard as you might think that it is. You know, everybody always says, but Jack, you're more technical. You want to make somebody laugh, tell Tom the web guy who's in the live stream right now, Jack is highly technical. He will laugh his ass off at you. He'll look like J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movie laughing. That's how hard he'll laugh. It's, if I can do it, you can do it too. Next up today, K9 Academy at k9academy.us. That's Joel Ryle's program there. It's to train you to train your dog. It is not hard to train dogs. It is hard to train yourself so that you actually train the dog properly. Dogs will follow rules if you follow the rules. You need to know what they are. You need to learn what the three C's are of dog training that yields the fourth C. What are they? I'm not going to tell you. Take the course. Check it out, k9academy.us. Please use my links for this one because that's the agreement I have with Joel. I have an affiliate relationship with him instead of a direct sponsorship. This is a great program. I helped him personally put it together. My dog came from Fortress K9, which is Joel's other website. She's a wonderful dog, Malinois Shepherd Cross. Love her to death. Great dog. Joel is doing the stuff the right way. He will teach you. And, hey, you know what? I told Joel it's really important for people to understand an instructor's abilities. And one way for them to do that is to be able to learn some things from that instructor without having to pay any money. So he has a problem-solving library. All you have to do is enroll, and you can take all of the free lessons in the problem-solving library and see if this is right for you. I think if you do that, you'll end up taking at least a K9 basics course. Check it out again, k9academy.us. But I would appreciate it if you would use my links when you sign up, including for the free course. That would be great. Just so Joel knows he's getting the exposure that he wants to get here at thesurvivalpodcast.com. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and talk about this. So let's talk about what's really going on here. So Joe sucks. We all knew this. I think even the most diehard I'm voting for Biden people knew that Joe Biden was not a great candidate and not a great president. There's nothing new. Missile Launch is asking if I got a new haircut. Yeah, sort of. It's a few weeks old now. But yeah, you knew from a while ago. It's always new. Just how new is it, right? But I don't think anybody was like, Joe Biden is the man. Like, anybody that said that is a paid shill, like that Harry Sesson kid or whatever, right? Like, nobody that's like you, even the media, when they talked about Joe being great and he was wonderful and what, they really, all they were really saying is, he's not Trump. He's not Trump. The thing is, they fucking knew that this man was not mentally fit to be president of the United States. They have known that. They have known that before he was elected. This is not new. It's just worse. And I've been saying this for years, but anybody, and most people have, who in their life has been touched with someone dealing with dementia in their aging years, knows what it looks like. And it's a terrible thing. And there's people that are saying really horrible things about Biden. Like, I don't pity him at all. Screw him. He was a horrible person his whole life. You know what? I do feel that he was a horrible person most of his life. I do feel he has committed major harm against America. The 1990s crime bill alone destroyed the lives of so many people in the minority communities that supposedly Democrats love. Okay. The man is a lying scumbag. He's a plagiarist, a liar, and he's full of shit. And he's a grifter. And his family has grifted billions and billions of dollars selling influence. I completely agree with that. I don't care. I do have sympathy for anybody dealing with this. Because if you were suffering in some way that you could comprehend what was going on and why, then that's justice. If you've dealt with a person with dementia, you know they don't understand what's happening around them. They really don't. And that's where this guy is. And everybody saw it. But there's some really big pieces of this that are more important than the election itself. Again, I'm speaking to you because I know almost all of you in your orbit, you have people who are completely have dived into tribalism. They're full on MAGA, make America great again, orange band, woohoo, the great Trumpkins rising again. And you have people that are on the left the same way. And honestly, I'll say it. The people on the right are more tolerable than the people on the left, but they're both intolerable. It's just how intolerable are they? But then you have the people that are going, wait a minute, this little thing's not right. This little thing, and they're just right there. They're Neo in the Matrix before Morpheus offered them the two pills. They're about ready to be told you can take the red pill and wake up and see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Or you can take the blue pill and go back to sleep. They're right there, okay? This is an opportunity to reach those people. Not so they'll vote orange, not so they'll vote Biden, not so they'll do anything with politics, so they'll just wake up to reality. Because this is what we know after watching that debate. Number one, the president is not in control of the country. There is nobody that can be intellectually honest with themselves for 33 and a half seconds that could have watched that debate and thought for 1 minute, this man's actually in charge of the country. What does that mean? It means the deep state is real, not a conspiracy theory. Nothing to do with whether you like Orange Man or not. It's really important if you're having conversations with people. This is not about woohoo Trump. This is about the fact the current sitting president of the United States, no matter who he's running against, is not running your country. Let me say it again. The president of the United States, marketed as the most powerful man on the planet, is not running the country he was elected to lead. Period. End of story. There is no pushback on this by any intellectually honest human being. Like I said, we're going to talk about this differently than they are on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or Rachel Maddow or whatever else. Okay? The next is the media knowingly lied to you about this for years. There is no way that the people like Joe Scarborough and I don't know who the hell else are actually surprised by this. They might be surprised about how bad it was. I think they got really used to Weekend at Bernie's working. Okay. Whenever you had this guy in a place where you couldn't just quickly cut out, they have clearly pumped him up with some sort of medication in the past. There is no way you can convince me for a millisecond that the State of the Union address, Joe was not on some sort of freaking uppers, okay? And he was on something at this debate. And you'll have to go back and put yourself through the pain of at least fast-forwarding through it to see what I'm talking about. Toward the end of the debate, it tried to kick in, and then it went away. And I can tell you how I know, because I pay attention to fucking details. His eyes were in that typical thing where, like, his head's tilted, so the one eye's lower than the other. They're both squinted, one squinted more than the other, and they're kind of dark and empty. And he had that gape, right, looking at Trump the whole time. Like, he just, like, I've seen that look too. Anybody's dealt with dementia, you've seen that look in an elderly person. It's sad. I cannot grok what's actually happening here. And somewhere in their head, they're having a fantasy about being a kid or something like that. They're having an ancient memory. Okay, he had that look all the way through it, and he had it at the end. about three quarters through it for a while, and there was a point where it happened. His eyes got as big as saucers. His entire face went up almost like he had Botox. They went into this like perfectly round shape, and it stayed that way for a while, and it faded away. That was whatever they gave this motherfucker kicking in. And I believe the media absolutely thought, we can do this one or two more times. He won't be great, but he'll trigger Trump with all his little jabs, which he tried, like he did remember to do that. He threw all the, and Trump just kind of looked like, Trump looked like a fucking ventriloquist puppet when he was talking, which was actually a good play. It's the best he could do. It's the best Orange Man could pull off. That head, like he'd look over and look back and look over and look back. He looked, and his like body didn't move, just his head. He looked like when you have a ventriloquist moving a dummy's head. Check it out. Go look at a clip. Look at the famous clip where Trump at the end of it says, you killed Medicare, right? You did beat Medicare. You beat it to death. And the one where Trump says, what do you say at the end? He goes, I don't know what he said at the end of that right there. I don't think he does either. Watch the lead up to it. Watch Trump's head. He looks like a freaking puppet, right? So Trump didn't take the bait on any of that shit. And that left Biden to do his own thing. So the media expected Trump to take the bait for him to rant and rave. And they also expected, I believe, CNN to run a rigged debate, which I expected. And they didn't, which was a miss. Trump had a huge miss. He had a bunch of misses. We'll talk about a few of them along the way here. But here was his big miss. The last thing you say in any talk is the most memorable thing that you say. And he had an opportunity at the end. Let me amend the very end of Trump's closing statement. So he says whatever he said. He still had some time left. He had about 25 seconds, so it was plenty of time to get it out. And could I right now here at the end just say, a lot of people, including myself, really expected that CNN was going to run a rigged debate because you have such a track record of rigging things. I am surprised at how even-handed you were, and I would like to thank you and tell you I respect the way that you handled this debate. That would have been, or something similar to it, that, and that would have had to have been ad hoc. I'm sure he didn't have that prepared, but that would have been the classiest way to close that debate down. And it would have been, there's a line in the Bible about heaping flaming or burning coals of kindness upon the head of your enemy. And that would have been a perfect example of it. That would have been a beautiful close. But the media lied to you. And this is the discussion. Okay, look, they lied to you. Don't think they didn't know. That's why they had an absolute fucking meltdown. And we're going to get to where all you guys think this is a setup and they're going to replace them. It's not as easy as you think. We'll get to that next, okay? Then we have to talk about what's going on now, okay? Why? And this is going to lend credence when I get to my next segment about this is not the plan, man. This is the plan, man. They knew they were going to do this to Joe, and now they're going to get rid of him. It's not as easy as you think. The copium has already begun. I'll explain why it isn't what you think it is, if you think it's just to get rid of them in just a moment. But first, I want to play something for you. I want to play Nancy Pelosi, as the turn has already been made to spin this, to Joe actually won. Joe actually did great. Yeah, it was a bad debate performance, but Biden told the truth, even though he got fucking fact-checked by CNN, of all people, like 18 times destroyed with lying. He told the truth and Trump lied. Like, that's the spin. But it's more than that. These people are now telling you, again, by the way, Trump's really the one with dementia. And this, we should use this to reach people again. And the hard thing here is to make people understand when you're talking to them, I am not being a Trump advocate. I'm being anti-media and anti-government. That is all. And this is a part. Wait till you hear this pea brain woman, who I believe is in end-stage alcoholic psychosis with this. She sounds almost as bad as Biden at the end, but this is Pelosi defending Biden for 48 seconds.
This is an opportunity for Joe Biden to go out there and show he has the stamina and the rest. And by the way, while the press, and for some reason they don't, there are healthcare professionals who think that Trump has dementia, that his connection, his thoughts do not go together. And, while he may be saying we're enablers, we see Joe Biden up close. We know how attuned he is to the issues, how informed he is. And I debate with him about legislation, and not debate, but discuss it with him. He's right there. So in any case, it was a bad night. Let's not sugarcoat that. It was a bad night. It was a great presidency. This is an...
All right. So the first question I have for those of you on the video feed of this, instead of the ones just listening to the audio, is why the fuck does she have four eyebrows? Who? I mean, you know somebody did her make. Who thought that was a good look? We're going to paint fucking eyebrows on your eyelids, and we're going to accentuate your actual place where your real eyebrows are supposed. What the fuck is that? I mean, let's look at it again for those of you that are here. Like, what? Let me blow this up, right? What the hell is that? Who did that? Did somebody let her loose with her own mascara or something? I don't know, right? But the idea here, right? Now, you know, it's really Trump that has dementia. Now, look, I'm sorry here. You can hate Trump. You can talk shit about a lot of his ideas and policies. You can certainly talk shit about a lot of the things that he says, moreover, of what he does. I completely agree. But you can't say the man has dementia. Trump has not exhibited anything that is dementia-like. Does he occasionally say something and then jump over to something else? Does he occasionally pause and have to find a word? We all do. That's not dementia. Okay? You can't say that's dementia and then have Biden literally sit there in reboot mode for 30 seconds on a debate stage while Trump looks at him like a Muppet and say Trump's the one with freaking dementia. But she just did it, and this is the spin, and this is how you know the plan, man, is not to replace Biden right now. I'll get to more of it, but the spin that's coming out right now makes absolutely no resemblance to reality. So this is again your opportunity. When somebody says, well, they're saying this, okay, throw away your attraction or repulsion by all the candidates. Look at this like a referee. Right? It's a good time to stop and make an analogy here with the way I do commentary like this. People say, Jack, you're supposed to be an anarchist. You're not supposed to care about this stuff. I am. But I still understand the rules of the game and the way things are supposed to be played. So I don't give a fuck about sports ball, right? Hockey, basketball, baseball. I care a tiny ass little bit about football, because it's a good excuse to hang out with people and drink beer and watch the Steelers lose, which is basically what I've been doing lately. That's about it. But I don't really care about, like, the NBA at all. Zero. I care even less about the WNBA. But if somebody shows me a play and I know the rules and I look at the call and the person got the call wrong, I can say that call was wrong. They didn't follow their own rules. And if they get the call right and everybody's pissed off because everybody wanted the other guy to win, I can also say, you cannot like it, but the call is valid. And that's how I come at this. That's why it's different, because everybody else is coming at this with a fucking agenda. I'm not. Actually, my agenda is to wake people up to reality. That's my entire agenda. But the DNC, right now, they're actually caught in three of the five stages of grief. That's where this really is. And if you start looking at the commentary and you start listening to the spin that does not match reality, and you're like, some of you are going, I don't even understand. I don't even understand. Listen to Nancy Pelosi, who, again, sounds like a person in end-stage alcoholic psychosis. I'm not a doctor, but that's my best guess here. It doesn't look like dementia to me. It does look like somebody who spent a lot of their life destroying their body with alcohol. And it's all paid for by you and me, so why wouldn't she, I guess? And say, you know, Trump's really the one with dementia. You can't grok. Like, no matter what they're going to do, why would you do that? That's so far from reality. Well, five stages of grief. Anger, right? Denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. They are nowhere near depression yet, though they may soon be. And they certainly haven't gotten anywhere near acceptance, would be accepting that the American people know you're full of shit now. That's the real acceptance. Not the acceptance of the orange man rising again, the acceptance that you have now, the curtain has fallen, the man behind has been seen. They are nowhere near that acceptance. They are trapped in a three-way tie with anger, denial, and bargaining. And as soon as you look at it that way, you go, oh, That's why Gavin Newsom's like, are you kidding me? We'd never turn our back on Biden, and everybody thinks he's the next nominee. Because anger, bargaining, and denial are all in there at the same time. There's a short circuit in the matrix. There's a literal short circuit in the matrix. What they have done, as stupid as it is, as transparent as it has been to those of us who cared to pay attention, has worked for so long, they literally convinced themselves that it would never end, that they would always be able to lie and get at least 51% of the idiots to believe it. And then it fell apart, and now it's like they're pissed. They're in, like, this can't have happened, but we can still fix it. We can still prevent the Trumpkin from rising in November. Like, it doesn't have to. We can fix this. We can fix. No, you can't. Humpty Dumpty's fucking broke. And the king's men and horses cannot put his ass back together. He fell on his diaper and he broke. It's over, guys. I'm sorry. You're going to have to reboot the Matrix now. By the way, since I keep using that little reference there. You know, the three Matrix movies, forget the fourth one, that was woke bullshit. But the first three, they're pretty damn good. Do you know that they gave away the ending of the first movie at the beginning? The ending of the third movie at the beginning of the first? Do you know how? Character's name. What does Neo mean? New. The entire story was rebooting the Matrix. Like, they thought they were fighting for freedom, and all they were doing was fighting to a reset so that it could all happen over and over and over again. So you take that analogy where you want to. But the Democrats have one option here. If they are going to swap out a candidate, they only have one option that would actually work. I'm not saying they don't have it. They're all bad options, and we'll get to why in a second and why this is not the plan. But they have one option that could possibly work, and they won't do it. Because the option they have will destroy half of what they want. In fact, Trump will destroy less of what they want. Trump will give you far more of what they don't want, but he will destroy far less of what they want to preserve than this one person. I wonder if, no, it's not Big Mike. It's not Big, no, fucking, get this through your head, folks. Michelle fucking Obama is not going to run for president. She is laying her big fat ass on billionaires' yachts. No interest in it. Zero. And wouldn't win anyway. I'm sorry. It's like an Oprah fantasy or some shit, okay? It's not happening. There's one answer to this. There's one person who is in place that has an active campaign that could pick up the mantle and probably beat the Orange Man. And I'm not advocating for anybody in this. I'm just telling you, I'm balls and strikes. I'm watching a game I don't care about. I'm just commentating it. And that is Robert fucking Kennedy Jr. That's who could beat Trump in this. And he could never have beaten Biden. I don't care how fair they made the primary. That's all fucking fantasy land, because they had tricked you and the Democratic faithful at the time to believing Biden, he's the way. He's doing somersaults and calculus problems at the same time. While he's on the phone to 12 different world leaders, nobody can keep up with him. He's amazing. He's virile. Like, that's, they believed it. So at the time the primaries were running, unless they would have allowed a fucking debate to happen, which they never do, right? Not in that situation where you're that far ahead. No candidate does a debate when they're 30, 40 points ahead in the polls. You don't do it because you're stupid if you do. Okay? Give credit to the Orange Man. He was smart. He stayed out of the Republican primary debates. Why would you? Why would you? You're friggin' 65 points ahead of the closest candidate. Why would you go in this solely yourself with a debate? Because you should. But no, not if you want to win, you don't. So it could have never happened then. But if the choice is binary, Trump, RFK, you will probably have President Robert Kennedy Jr. But they won't do it because he will rip asunder things, because there are things I like, but there's things I hate about Kennedy. Okay? Kennedy is a 90s Democrat. That's why he looks sane compared to a 2020s Democrat. That's reality. He's a socialist. He's for big government. Every solution is more power in the hands of government and larger government, but he does know what regulatory capture is, and he wants to rip the shit out of that. Though SCOTUS just kind of rugged that shit a little bit, thankfully. We'll get to that in the second half of the show today. Okay? But, like, there's a lot of good that RFK could do. but they'll never do it. And he's the only person that could. And when I explain to you why this is not the plan to replace Biden, like, this is not a setup. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't just ready to go. It was a fucking glitch in the matrix. And I'm going to go into that segment of the show now. And when I'm done, if you don't believe it, you've chosen not to understand the situation on the ground. You don't intentionally weaken your position in politics unless you're way dumber than anybody who has the ability to obtain power would be in the first place. So first of all, this idea that they're just going to replace Joe, to do that in anything approaching a clean way, just a brokered convention alone does not make that happen. By the way, I'll just say this. For the Democrats out there going, brokered convention, brokered convention. So what you're saying is, let me see if I got this right. What you want to do is you want to go to a place where already cast votes are about to be certified and overturn the will of the people in the election. I'm just saying that's what you're doing. Just so we're clear on what a brokered convention in this situation would be. Just so we understand each other. That's what you want to do. I'll leave it on the table for you there. But Joe has to agree to step down. For this to happen in any way in time to make it for the election, to be on all about everything, Joe has to say, I, Joe Biden, am stepping down as a candidate or even as president. I'll like just say, I'm going to resign the presidency. Kamala becomes president. Kamala can run. Okay. How's that going to work out for the, I mean, you want to like lower your position, make Kamala Harris the candidate. The lead candidate. This is a woman who couldn't get 2% of the vote in the primary in her own state. This is cackles, heels up, Harris. This is a non-starter. This is, we are looking to the future, unburdened by the past, with the past. But I mean, just word salad Kamala can't beat Trump. So it's not a good play, so you don't make it. Okay, what are the other options? What are the other options? Well, you could do the 25th Amendment. So Joe says, no, I'm not stepping down. Because we all know how reasonable old people with dementia are, right? You think you can make a logical case to an old man with dementia when he does know he's president most of the time. And if you tell him he has to not be president, then he'll know he's president in that moment. So we've all also probably dealt with this. Old people with dementia are not reasonable, especially people accustomed to power with that still remaining in their head. So he's not going to do it. Jill's not going to let him do it because Dr. Jill loves her lifestyle and she wants at least 4 more years of that shit. She wants to pad that CV. So while Joe is either dead or laying in a really expensive old folks somewhere, she can be going around giving fake speeches for $500,000 a pop. That's her plan. So that's not going to happen. So 25th Amendment, how does that work? I saw some retard today say that takes 2/3 of Congress. Okay, you're an idiot. You never passed Civics 101 or 102. 25th requires the cabinet to step up and say, we're removing the president from office. At which point, you're back to Harris. So it's the same play as him stepping down. It's he won't step down, so we'll step him down. And I'm sure with the right words and the right ears of the Buttigiegs of the world, you could get that to happen, but you're back to square zero. You're actually in a weaker position now. As bad as it was, Joe Biden's more likely to win if they can spin it right now than Kamala Harris. I know it's hard to accept, but it's true. So let's go on with the next option. You can't just bypass Harris. Well, I know they'll do a broker convention. They're going to bring in Gavin Newsom. First of all, you're assuming that Gavin Newsom actually improves the probability of a win for the Democrats. Gavin Newsom, who looks like a cross between a shitty used car salesman and Joel fucking Olstein, right? Gavin Newsom with a slick back hair, Gavin Newsom with so much fucking baggage coming in this late in the game with no campaign in place. I'll get to another part of it, but he doesn't have a campaign in place. It's fucking July. The election's in November. There's nothing in place for this right now for him. And no, he can't just take Biden's campaign over. Who else you got? Big Mike, right? Michelle Obama, not happening. Not happening. Not qualified. Didn't prevent Hillary. Hillary played the game. Hillary was a fucking senator. Hillary was Secretary of State. You know, Michelle Obama didn't run a multi-billion dollar corporation. She doesn't have what Trump had. Again, it's Oprah fantasy world. Who else? they're starting to float names that nobody's even ever heard of before. Certain governors and shit, only the people in those states. What they're saying now is, you know what a winning ticket is? Fucking Whitmer. Whitmer and Harris. So you get rid of Joe somehow. Harris takes over. You put Whitmer as vice president. You got two women. Fucking Whitmer just told the Biden administration, my state is no longer winnable for you. But she's like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there is no way to do this with freaking heels up Harris as your person for president. The attack vectors on this, Trump's number one issue, the thing that has won more people for him from the middle than anything else, is the border. The border czar, who's only been to the fucking border once and stared at it from 15 feet away, where they cleaned it up in the most uncrossed, like, that's your horse in this? You don't think she's going to get eviscerated? Okay. So I know what you're thinking now. Jack just doesn't understand. There's no campaign in place. All they do is just plug in Newsom or whoever else you're going to pull out of your ass and say they're going to plug in. Okay, there's a problem with this. Biden has, last time I checked, about $88 million in campaign funds in his war chest. Do you think you can just give it to Newsom or whoever else? You can't. You can't. The Democrat Party's own policies and legal framework of United States election law, you can't do it. You can't just say, since I'm not running, here's my money. So all that money becomes stranded and becomes unusable until after the election, when it can be reappropriated. So there's almost $90 million sitting there to run campaign ads, to do all the spin, to buy votes with, to do, and it's most of it is big PAC dark money. You can't give it to Newsom, and you can't give it back to the people so they can give it to Newsom. It's stranded capital until the election's over. Did you know that? Did anybody tell you that other than me? That Biden's money cannot go to, it can go to Harris, because it's the Biden-Harris campaign. So if Harris takes, it's the only play they have that keeps the war chest money available. It's a non-starter. It can't be done. It can't be done. If you have questions for me, please put the word question in all caps, but I saw Empty's question and I did star it, but I'm mostly monologuing today, so you're going to have to really make sure you capitalize things. So then the idea that this is a setup. This is a setup, man. This was the plan all along. Look what happened. Even Rachel Maddow threw Biden in the trash at first. It's a glitch in the matrix. You only do something intentionally, especially in politics, because it strengthens your position. Explain to me how this strengthens their position. Having this debate, having Biden glitch the fuck out, how does this strengthen? Like, will they want to replace him? They could have done that without the fucking debate. If that was the plan all along, they could have went to Joe and said, look, man, it would just be better if you went off and fed Siegel's ice cream or something. And we, like, there's no way. You're fucked. You're fucked. This is bad. So, I know we want to think of these people as stupid. They're not stupid. They look stupid because you don't understand what they're doing. You think they're actually supposed to be like, this is the problem for the average person. When they look at a Democrat and they look at their economic policy, for instance, and they're enlightened enough, they're of like the Thomas Sowell, Ludwig von Mises school of thought with economics, and they realize how stupid this is. The reason they say this is stupid is they say, well, this is a person who actually thinks the economy would be better if they did this. And they're just wrong. No, they know exactly what they're fucking doing, and they're malicious. Now, some of the Congress clowns and stuff, the AOCs of the world, they're true believers, and you got to have true believers in the system. But the people that are setting the agenda know full well what they're doing. They know absolutely what they're doing, and they wouldn't do this to weaken their hand, because there's a lot of invisible hand behind the scenes, deep state going on, probably more in the Biden administration than anybody else, because the president has significant power as long as he or she is capable of exercising it. Once it's deferred, it's a disaster. It's a disaster, because then the lunatics are literally running the asylum, and that's what's going on right now. So they didn't do that. And the September debate, they can't get out of it. That's the other thing I've heard. The Joy Reids of the world and all. Joy Reid, by the way, who said, while that was going on, Barack Obama was calling me and telling me how bad it was. Yeah, fucking Barack Obama's calling Joy Reid. Get the fuck out of here, you self-important idiot. What'd you do, read his Twitter and say he blew up your phone with it? How freaking stupid. This is a glitch. It wasn't supposed to happen. This is what was supposed to happen. They were supposed to wheel him out there. He was supposed to mumble, bumble, fumble through it, but do a reasonable job. He wasn't supposed to look slack-jawed at Trump. They gave him every advantage, friendly moderators, friendly network, podium to lean on, right? He wanted a chair to sit in. They said no to that. No audience, muted microphone. He's got it. They'll take him out to Camp David. They'll give him a bunch of zingers. They'll pump him up with dope. They'll put him in an oxygen chamber. They'll get him going. We'll Weekend at Bernie's him one more time, and then it didn't work. And that's why right at the end, all of the people, CNN, MSNBC, and all had a fucking nuclear meltdown. Anger and denial. This can't be happening. I'm so angry we have to replace him. Very quickly. Very quick. Like, that was organic. They've got it. Like, they got to talk to him. They got to, because none of them knew what I just told you. None of them understood the intricacies of actually replacing a candidate this late in the game. The last time we saw anything like this was a movie called fucking Head of State with Chris Rock in it, and it doesn't attach to reality. And at least in that case, the president and the vice president were fucking dead. So it could actually happen. This is never, no one's ever done this before. Had a candidate this late in the game that's still around, that wants to be in the game, and said, no, they got to go. They played all kinds of backdoor politics. Broker conventions have happened. Never with a sitting incumbent president who was the nominee in a landslide election in the primary. So they didn't know what to do. But then the hands that actually control everything that didn't plan for this went, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. No, time out, time out, time out. Stop it. You guys all got to start singing from the sheet of music again. Biden had one bad night and an otherwise wonderful presidency. Okay, that's what you guys say. That you say Biden told the truth, even though your own fact checkers pointed out, right? You see what they did? CNN, when they fact checked Biden, they were still in that first responsive mode. Like that shit's gonna memory hole. It won't, because the internet never forgets. But give it a week and go to CNN's website and try to find their fact check on Biden. I dare you to find it. Without like using some sort of search tools or something. Just dig through and find it on their site. You'll never see it again. It'll be regulated to the back. You might have to go to the Wayback Machine to even find it. So the people actually in charge said, no, 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 you assholes don't understand what you're doing. You think you're helping, but you're not. Okay? Right? And this was here. Yeah, Kelly, I love this. I just happened to see this. Good job. You answered all the questions. Like he was a kindergartner who did a good job on his freaking coloring sheet. It's exactly what, if you saw that video, it's the next day, Joe's at a rally to show how virile he is, right? He's so virile. He's so energetic. And he's standing there with that gaping, freaking clueless, no idea look on his face with like a goofy grin. And she's like, Joe, you did so good. You answered every question. You had all facts. What I heard in that was a soccer mom telling her 9-year-old that he did such a good job at field day, even though he came in last in every race and got a participation ribbon. You ran every race. Another person said it was like, this is going right up on the refrigerator where everybody can. It is sad. It is sad that our country, which has been known as the greatest country in the world that's ever existed, now as a president where his wife is on fucking TV talking to him like he is 5 fucking years old in kindergarten, did a good job and needs his coloring book put up on the fucking refrigerator. And the media plays it and doesn't even hide that. They'll hide that he's incompetent, but they won't hide that happening. Again, there is a glitch in the matrix right now, and it's our opportunity to wake up more minds. That's all that it is. It's not going to change your life that much. There could be some good things out of it. But the September debate, there's no way out now. So what you have is the mouthpieces like Joy Reid. All that. I just don't think Trump should debate a lying sex fiend, like criminal convicted. Like they all thought it was a great idea until it happened. And now just on principle, he shouldn't debate. Okay. So let's say he does debate again. You think he's going to get better between now and September? Has anybody ever noticed a dementia patient get better over 4 months, especially in the pressure of a job of the president, even if he's not? Now, you think about this. Like, I thought about this. I was talking to my wife about it. She said, why would Jill do this? I'm like, well, why wouldn't she? She gets a great life, and she has the ultimate in elder care for her husband. She doesn't have to change his diapers. She doesn't have to have any stress. Like, the man gets 24/7, 365, perfect medical care, social care, et cetera. He'll have a more fulfilling life this way than he will any other way. So why wouldn't she do it? But if they don't debate now, what happens? The Trump campaign goes, well, I wouldn't want to debate either. If that was like, you'll never get the stench from the first debate off you without doing the second debate. The second debate will be as bad or worse unless they can get the drug cocktail right. That's the gambit they're all playing right now. We'll be able to get him through the convention. He'll read a teleprompter. We'll work on his drugs. We'll keep him out of the public eye. He'll do campaign events where he'll speak for 5 to 9 minutes, and everything else will be done with surrogates. We'll wheel him in. We'll wheel him out. Anytime he looks like something's wrong, we'll claim he had a cold. Right? He had that debate. Like, I've had colds before, guys. I've never performed that poorly because I had a fucking cold. The guy was lost. So you don't do the debate in December or September, you lose. You do the debate in September, you lose. So all they can do is spin and hope. Anger, denial, bargaining. They're stuck in a three-part cycle of that right now because the matrix glitched. Let's do some good news, though. Supreme Court came out with 3 decisions, and I personally feel they got them all right. Now, I know somebody's going to say, but you're supposed to be an anarchist. We already covered that. In their rule book, based on their rules, they got the decision right under the circumstances. Let's talk about the biggest one first, the one that has the most impact on the most people and is way more important than January 6th bullshit. And that's what's known as Chevron deference. And I don't want to get too legalese with this or too much of a history lesson, but back in the 1980s, when we had an environmental disaster, something came out called Chevron deference in a decision that was issued by the Supreme Court at the time. And it basically said the following. If Congress passes a law and the Senate and the president signs it into enforcement, and that law falls under the purview of the EPA, the FDA, the DEA, whoever, any regulatory body, and there's any ambiguity in the law, anything that could be like interpreted multiple different ways, anything that's not completely crystal clear, then we the ATF as well. Absolutely. It's Chevron deference. Did I say Exxon? I have it written down as Chevron. Why are you saying Chevron? Did I get it wrong? Did I say Exxon? Chevron deference. Okay. Chevron, like a military rank. Chevron deference. Okay. So anyway, that if there was any ambiguity in a law, that the regulatory body was deferred to, not the courts. So the law says a thing, and I'm like, I read the law. I think I can do this thing. And some alphabet agency says, no, you can't. That alone was sufficient to prove me wrong, and they could fine me, put me out of business, throw me in jail, do whatever they wanted with no oversight by the court system whatsoever. I had no real remedy. And any court that looked at it, they would look at it and immediately say, hey, based on Chevron deference, we defer to the experts who are all paid by the industries they're supposedly regulating, by the way. So that's why all this shit, like, you notice it's like the Chevron deference, but it's never Chevron they're going after anymore. And when they do have to go after like Chevron or Enron, which is another decision that was made based on Enron or any of these big companies, all they do is they give them a fine, they pay it, and they go on with business like nothing ever. Nobody goes to jail. Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever gets shut down because big companies love this. They're happy to pay. They throw some money, and it goes to the agency that fined them. It pays for more bureaucrats to do more of their bidding, which is regulate out their competitors. So they always go after, this was a fishing, a fisherman who brought this case. It went all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Small family business. The EPA was cracking down on. And so now what's been decided, this is the actual decision in the court. It's not gutting regulatory agencies. It doesn't mean the EPA is going to stop existing. It means if there's ambiguity in the law, it's up to the regulatory body to prove to the court that they're right. That's it. That's really all there is to it. So if they say, Jack Spirko, you can't have this many chickens on your property because we feel that it's impacting the water table or something, well, they have to prove it, and they have to prove under which law am I in violation. That's the way most people probably thought it was anyway. But now they're all experts on Chevron deference. If you ask these motherfuckers that are losing their mind about this shit what Chevron deference was 2 weeks ago, they couldn't have told you without Google. They can't tell you now, but they know they're upset about it. But that's all it is. You, as the AT, you, so here's an example. Trump's bump stock ban, right? Court struck that down separately, but that was clearly done under Chevron deference. Now, if you have enough money and horsepower, you can push a lawsuit with these regulatory bodies, but it's very, very difficult. The small person can't do it. It takes a major thing like something like that for you to get through that. But that's what it was done. Because what law was there saying that a bump stock was an automatic weapon? There isn't one. What law specifically bans a bump stock? There isn't one. What does the law say an automatic weapon is? Is that what a bump stock is? No. That's why the court struck that down a couple weeks ago. Because but without Chevron deference, it would have never went that far. It would have been very difficult. It would have been struck down much earlier by the courts because the courts would have never deferred to the regulatory body because they wouldn't have had to. Now, the courts can still be activists. The courts can still fuck the people over. But at least that hurdle now exists for these alphabet agencies. This is huge. And some of the other decisions recently that have come down, like the ability to regulate water catchment areas that they lost their mind about. They don't understand that either. That's huge. The next thing that came down was the first January 6th decision. This also is a little, this is more like prosecutorial decision here. And that is that a lot of the January 6th people were being prosecuted under a regulation. I'm trying to think, Enron. It was Enron that this decision came down about. And so what happened with Enron when the oversight came is a lot of people in a lot of places, including some in some government agencies, made some things disappear. They shredded some documents, some things got lost, some things got deleted, and it wasn't really clear exactly who was wrong, how you prosecute, and the court decision that came out of that was if you interfere with official government proceedings, yes, that's a felony. And so what they decided was anybody they wanted to prosecute for January 6th was interfering with an official government proceeding, but they never had to explain exactly how. They just went broad with it the same way these agencies do. DOJ is an alphabet agency too, by the way, right? So they just said, well, they were interfering. And a federal grand jury will freaking indict a ham sandwich, and a federal jury will probably convict one 9 out of 10 times. So if you're given, and we all saw from the Trump case in New York, the instruction given to the jury is extremely important. This is what you're judging. A person that goes in as a juror, even if they don't like the defendant or they don't like the prosecutor, that swears to do their duty and means it, they will come off with what Justice Kavanaugh said when he was being interviewed by the Senate for his confirmation hearings. He said, I think it was Kavanaugh. If it wasn't Kavanaugh, it was Gorsuch. He said something to the effect of, if you're a good judge, you will be unhappy with some of your decisions. You will at times say, I don't agree with this in preference, but the principle of following the law is this. And so since they haven't changed the law and I've sworn to uphold the law, then I have to rule with the law. And that's how most jurors, I really believe, do their duty as a juror. So if you're told in this case, we're determining whether or not this person interfered with an official proceedings. That's the charge. Okay, that is the charge we're making. And the judge says, and we need to defer to the Department of Justice as to what that means. And they say it means this, then it means that. Well, the Supreme Court said, nuh-uh, no, it doesn't. What's interesting about this one, I find this very interesting. It seems like another glitch in the matrix. Amy Coney Barrett, the darling of the right, dissented. It's a 6-3 decision. It's a 6-3 majority conservative court, but one of the most staunch conservatives dissented. Again, they don't tell you this, do they? Do you know who voted for this decision? Kenty Jackson Brown. No shit. Glitch. I don't have an explanation for this. I read her reasoning. I agreed with it, but it doesn't match her prior decisions in any way. It's weird. It's almost like they tag-teamed out or something and said, you know what would be fun? I know this didn't happen, but this is how it feels. It almost feels like two chicks were talking to each other and said, look, I think this, you think that, but let's just fuck with people. It's either going to be 6-3 or 5-4. Either way, it's going to go this way. Let's just swap opinions on this. So I don't think that's what happened, but it's what it feels like. But anyway, that's what actually happened there. No, you can't just say you have to show how it interfered. Here's an interesting thing. None of it really interfered. You know, you showed all the congressmen hiding like little cowardly chicken hawk pussy fucks that they are. You know those pictures? The war pigs hiding under the tables and all. They only did that because they were afraid and told to be afraid. Nobody actually went to where they were. Nobody entered where they were. They were over here, right? AOC was across the street when she almost died, right? But, I mean, even the people that were there to certify the election, the place they were, that chamber was never entered. So you have to prove that they legitimately interfered. Now there's 1,400 people have been charged with this bullshit. And some of them have been charged with legitimate charges. And I know what you're going to say about BLM burning shit down. I agree. It's again, I'm back to following the rules. If you smashed windows, if you punched a cop in the face, by the way, no cops were killed. No cops were murdered. Zero fucking cops were killed on January 6th. None. And you know how you know none of them? Tell me their fucking names. Tell me their names. One cop died the next day of a fucking heart attack. He would have died of the heart attack anyway. You might be able to find his name if you look. Okay? So, no cops died that day. But there were cops that were physically assaulted. We saw some of it happen. And if you physically assault a law enforcement officer, there's a crime there. You might disagree with it, but under the rules, it's a crime. Okay, I can see that person being prosecuted for assault on a law enforcement officer. I can see somebody who smashed a window being prosecuted for vandalism of a public property. Okay? But what did Garland say about these 1,400 people? It will have little to this Supreme Court decision, which completely strikes down their reasoning for prosecuting these people, completely strikes down their main reason for their main method of prosecution. That means we're going to ignore it. That's what it means. The little troll is going to keep prosecuting these people. Many of them soccer moms and shit that broke not a damn window, that cracked not a piece of glass. Don't tell me it's not what happened, because I know somebody who is on a federal task force detached from a sheriff's department, who had to do this freaking investigative work, that told me how bad it was. I'm talking about an insider, absolute, ironclad, verified fucking source, that their orders were get as many of them as you can. And to give this person his credit, he said, you know, we're really good at being bad at our jobs. We're really good at investigating and clearing and not getting everybody we can, because we know it was bullshit. So that's inside privileged information I'm giving you, 100% verified. And I have one that I have tons of information from like that. And I have another one that I have supporting evidence that are two different investigators through two different paths, that's what was done. And that was the overriding order. Let's make an example here. And that many of the people tasked with it were like, fuck this. And they still managed to round up 1,400 people, because there are enough true believers in the mob to get that done. So that was a good decision. Now, the one that came out today, it's uncommon but unprecedented what actually happened in this decision. And I think partially because of that, and partially as a desire to shift the conversation away from Brandon's complete fucking meltdown in the debate, Because don't think, like, this is an opportunity for the left. Let's talk about how bad Trump is because the Supreme Court made a decision while he's not even president. That's the play here. And you have both sides saying things that are completely untrue. The right is like, woohoo, orange man go free. Not what happened. Okay? You have the left, and a lot of my small-brained, low-information libertarian friends saying, that just means president can do anything they want, whenever they want, never be prosecuted. Both of you are so fucking wrong that you should have your heads knocked together. You know, like when you're a kid and you were acting up with your friend and your dad came up behind you and cracked your heads together? Yeah, that's what both sides need in this. A good freaking head crack splitter. Like crack a walnut between your two fucking heads. You're both full of shit. You didn't read it. You didn't try to understand it, because if you have an IQ over fucking 85, you'd be able to figure out what happened. So here's what happened. What the court said is the president of the United States, while exercising his official duties in the capacity of president, is immune from prosecution in discharging those acts. Full stop. That also implies that those acts are lawful under the authority of the president. So it doesn't mean anything he wants to do. So if it is an official act as president, he says, I am the president of the United States, and officially I'm executing these three motherfuckers in Congress, and pulls out a gun and shoots them on live TV. No. Right? That is not in the official purview, because it has to be under the purview of the chief executive. Okay? Well, what is under the purview of the chief executive? And of the things that Trump is charged with in interfering with the election, right, which of those things were official and which weren't, and which were under the purview of the president and which weren't? The Supreme Court said absolutely 100% fucking nothing about that. All they ruled was the de facto standard that's been used for over 200 years is still the case. We call this in other parts of the world, like where it protects police officers, qualified immunity. If you have a problem with what a cop does and you're right, you can sue the police department, the county, the city. You can't sue the officer. I mean, a cop does things that are completely illegal. It's up to his own organization to prosecute him, or maybe a higher level organization might come in and do it. But that's a prosecutorial thing. Let's say that a cop does something that legitimately does you harm from a standpoint of a reputation, right? But he says, I was acting as a cop. You can't sue him. You can sue the department again, and you might win $1 million, but it doesn't cost him anything. He has qualified immunity. If you want to talk about prosecuting presidents for things that are illegal if anybody else did them, let's look at it. So could we prosecute Barack Obama with war crimes? I'd say bombing a fucking wedding and ordering the assassination of an unconvicted United States citizen, both of those would qualify. Bush, I'm not even going to explain myself. Like, if you were going to start prosecuting presidents, Clinton goes in the jail and Bush goes under the fucking jail. Okay? Bush Sr., I could come up with some shit. Reagan, I could come up with shit. Carter, I'm going to be honest. He's a terrible president. I can't necessarily – I don't know enough about Carter from a standpoint of anything outside of economics, because that's all that's ever interested in me. And I was like a little kid barely out of shitting my pants when Carter was president. So I don't really remember. Ford, I'll give a pass. He was president for like 15 minutes. Nixon, do I have to – like if we're going to prosecute former presidents, why do you think fucking Nixon had himself pardoned by his VP, who then – bailed and had the next president pardon him, just to make sure. But we could keep, like, if you go back for 150 fucking years, the only president I can't think of who had this default reason for lack of prosecution is probably Eisenhower. Eisenhower is like the one exception, unless we get way back to like founders level, and I probably can come up with shit there. It's always been kind of understood, and all the Supreme Court said is, this is the way things have been. This is the way things stay. Go on with your life. But this is the part they're not talking about. They say it, but they don't explain what it means. They didn't just rule on this and throw out this ability of Jack Smith to prosecute the Orange Man. That's not what happened at all. They then took the case and sent it back down to the lower court and said, now you figure it out. Okay, figure out what? This is what they told the lower court to figure out. You figure out what falls under the purview of the president. You figure out when Trump was acting officially as president of the United States or as a private citizen. We're not saying fucking anything about that at all right now. We're not touching that. You brought it to us. The defense brought it to us with one objection. Presidents have immunity when they're acting in official capacity. We concur, 6-3. Well, what? Don't fucking know. We're not doing that today. Now, what's going to happen is it's going to go back to the lower court. No matter what they say, one side or the other is going to have objection. It's going to get reappealed, and the Supreme Court will have a period of time to figure out whether they want to take it up or not. By the time that all happens, election's over, and Trump can pardon himself. I'm sorry if you don't like it. It's true. Again, I'm back to calling balls and strikes here, whether I like the game or not. Trump can pardon himself. If nothing else, he can sit in office for 4 years, right? He can wait until like a couple of weeks before he's going to leave. He can sign all the pardons he wants to sign. You say he can't pardon himself. He can resign the presidency at the end of his term for a few weeks and let his vice president, who's making the transition anyway if he wins the election, pardon him before he goes. So it's dead in the, like all the federal prosecutions from this are pretty much dead in the water. But it doesn't mean a president can do anything they want. And it doesn't mean that Trump's legal problems from this are over. Now, I'll ask you guys, I got 200 plus people in the live stream. Has anybody heard an analysis like that from anybody at this point? I don't know that you will at any point in the next couple of weeks, but that's what actually happened. It's not the president can do anything they want. That's not what happened. And it does not make Trump's problems go away. It's all bullshit. But I do think, again, I said this at the beginning, unless we have some sort of asteroid comet metaphor type impact, right? Something happens that nobody could figure out, right? Well, then Trump wins. Right, I believe right now, if we had an election tomorrow morning, Trump wins, and probably in a major landslide. Like, not a Reagan 84, but like a Reagan 80 type landslide. Like, Biden wins the West Coast, New York State, Illinois, and a few other really super blue states, and Trump takes all the swing states, and some that we don't even think of as swing states anymore, like Virginia. Virginia goes Trump right now. Michigan goes Trump right now. Wisconsin probably goes fucking Trump right now, which is crazy. And if you said that 3 weeks ago, but then what happens? What happens? Well, number one, what happens is riots. And I believe riots happen on election night. On election night. I almost believe that riots will happen either way. And if the riots happen and Trump loses by some twist of fate, it won't be the right rioting, even though that's what they're telling you. Like Maxine Waters, like the right wing ultra MAGA crazy people are up in the mountains planning to come kill us all when Trump wins. Listen, you simpleton minded fucking idiot. If that was what was going on, they wouldn't wait for Trump to win. They would just fucking do it. You're a fucking idiot. And you know you're an idiot and you're playing the fool, even though I think for her, like, they're like, who are we going to have play the fool? And so I was like, I know. Maxine Waters, they'll go, well, she is a fool. Like, well, so she's perfect for the part, right? Just like you hire the guy with the big white beard to play Santa in the movie, right? Because you don't have to put a fake beard on him. Like, she can play the idiot because she is an idiot. But I think riots. And I would tell you right now, be nowhere near a blue fucking city on election night. Nowhere near it. Get the fuck away. Do not go out to bars and shit like that. And down, I don't care if you, my downtown is kind of cool and funky and hippies there are cool. It's awesome. Stay the fuck out of blue cities on election night and for at least a week after. Because if it doesn't happen immediately, I believe that they will have the riots ready to go. And if you don't think they have ready to roll riots, then you don't have a fucking clue. It doesn't take a million people to have a million people riot ready to go. It takes a few instigators and agitators and a few specific people. And then once the excuse is there, the people that will use any excuse to riot will just join in. It's the hand moving the crowd like the waves of the sea, right? That's what, so riots happen. We will get another round of impeach him at any cost. I promise you within a week or two, honestly, the left will start using the impeachment word again. as the reality, as they begin to move into the depression stage of the five stages of grief, the reality that this is actually fucking happening to them, so they'll start talking about impeaching him. But as we get closer to the election, you're going to hear the word more, and if he wins that election, there will be articles of impeachment waiting for him. Now, I don't think they'll go anywhere, because I think the House goes deeply Republican, and the Senate will probably go by a very razor, ass hair thin majority to the Republicans. You're probably going to go back, reset to 2016, where Trump has the House, he has the Senate, and he has the White House, but by pretty small margins, making getting much done difficult. Republicans, again, likely get the House and the Senate by thin majorities, and then you might get some financial relief for a bit. You might see some deflation. What you really might see is reining in of interest rates. I haven't looked. I don't know when the Fed chairman is up for replacement, but that's definitely a move a president can make. But you also have like Yellen. Yellen is gone. So like half of the equation in that can be remedied right away. Trump is also huge on energy. Huge on energy. And before I say that, I want to pause for a second with some more things that, like, did Trump do good in the debate? No. He just didn't do bad. He didn't do good. He had so many opportunities. When Biden hit him, the hardest, like, the most effective moment Biden had was attacking Trump on abortion rights. That's something that people who are pro-abortion side with Biden on 100%. Now, he fucked it up. He made it about the border. He talked about women getting impregnated by their sisters and their in-laws and illegal aliens. Like, this was like the weirdest fucked up shit ever. But Trump still missed an opportunity there because he said, this is all his fault. He appointed three Supreme Court justices. Trump had an opportunity there to speak to Americans that he blew. This is one example of his many fuck-ups, right? And that would be, he's right. Instead of saying, everybody agreed. No, everybody didn't agree. Like, the most contentious, disagreed upon thing in America was probably Roe v. Wade. So that was dumb. But this is what he could have said. I absolutely did appoint three Supreme Court justices, and they are the reason that that decision was made. I am confident that giving the power back to the states as a federalist was the right thing to do. But there's something more important here. And that more important thing is the people who I nominated were on a list that was published before I was elected. I did something that's very confusing to the political class. I made promises before I was elected. And then when I was elected, I fulfilled those promises. I appointed the exact type of justice that I promised I would. And by the way, over 200 federal judges, the exact same model, exactly what I said I would do. And people voted for it. So all you're angry about is the fact that I made a promise when I campaigned that I fulfilled. Trump's not capable of speaking that way. He has to lash out on people. Even when he's being calm, he's still a dick all the time. But I mean, I would have owned it. I would have said, yeah, absolutely. I said I would. I published the names of the people who I would select before I was elected, and then I worked the list that I committed to using. I'm sorry that you have a problem with honesty, Joe. See what I mean? That there were so many places like that that Trump could have really spoke to the issue versus just this guy sucks. What Trump did right is when the guy was glitching out, he kept his fucking mouth shut. He did the puppet head move. And I think it was genuine too. Like, what the fuck is this guy saying? Like, when your enemy is destroying themselves, leave it alone. Don't touch it. He did that right. But since Joe was doing an ample job of making himself look like an idiot, you don't need to point out that he's incompetent and an idiot. Everybody sees it. Point out what you're going to do right and what you did right in the past. What got you elected in the first place? The things you said you would do that you did. Because love him or hate him, he says a lot of stupid shit. But this is what I can say for Trump. Everything he promised to do, that he was able to do, he did. You can be mad at me for it, but give me an example of where he didn't. Right? What didn't he do or attempt? Like, he said he would get rid of the Affordable Care Act, and he fucking tried. He missed it by, like, the hair of a gnat's ass is how much he missed it by to repeal it. Was it a perfect repeal? No, but it was better than anything anybody else did. And the fucking House, who voted to repeal it 9 fucking times while Obama was in the presidency, couldn't do it when they had the ability to actually do it because they never really wanted to. But Trump, I'm going to give you a big tax cut. Absolutely gave us a big tax cut. It was only for billionaires. I'm not a fucking billionaire. I got a massive tax cut. Okay? Now, it did benefit specifically small business people, but we're the ones that employ people. Okay? We're the ones that drive the economy. But everybody got their taxes cut. Except the people that don't pay taxes in the first place. So the man did a lot of things. Lock her up. There's one. That's one thing he didn't do. He did say he was going to appoint a special counsel over the Clintons, and I guarantee you what happened. He got the talk. This is my one hope for Orange Man if he gets back in. That when he gets the talk this time, he tells the people giving him the talk to go fuck themselves. What's the talk, if you don't know? Ask Jesse Ventura what the talk is. You get the talk as president. You get the talk as a senator. You get the talk as president for sure. You get the talk as a congressman. This is when a bunch of fucking assholes walk in to talk to you. And somehow they get straight to you, right through all your filters. Like, if you just want to see the president, you don't just go see the fucking president. They have no, like, public titles or anything like that. There'll be about six of them. They're all from, like, the CIA and NSA. And they come in and they explain to you why you can't do all the things that you said you were going to do. What's really going on and what you really need to know now that you're in this position of power. And they probably say, and look at all the shit that we have on you over here. This is all the stuff that we have on you over here. And I think he got the talk, and one of them was just let the Clinton thing go. It'll be better for everybody. It was a mistake. But I think that's what happened. I'm hoping that whoever gives them the talk, he just gives them the middle finger this time and tells them to go fuck themselves. But if you get any financial relief, what I'm going to tell you to do is capitalize on it fast. I wouldn't care if we were resurrecting Ludwig von Mises and freaking making him president. This is unfixable. It's short-term correctable, but long-term unfixable. So if interest rates come down and you have a high interest rate, immediately fucking refinance. If you need to buy a new vehicle and interest rates come down, buy a new vehicle. If electricity rates come down and you live in a state where you can switch providers, the minute they drop, switch and sign a long-term contract. Like, I'm telling you, this will not last, but it could be good for a little while. We might get one more reset of the gambling tables, but you better capitalize on as quick as you can. And I know some people are going to hate me for this. I do believe that Trump has done the majority of things he's promised to do. And that's what I'm going to tell you. I think Trump is the glitch in the matrix. I'm not saying he's wonderful. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying I agree with him on a lot of things. But I am saying that most of what people hate him for are lies. No, he did not say that Nazis were very fine people. That never happened. Even fucking Snopes admits it now. That was another miss, wasn't it? When Trump's like, you can look it up and say that I didn't really say it. And Biden's like, yeah, he did. And like, what Trump should have said is, the most left-wing fact-checking website on the internet is a site called Snopes. It's basically one lady and her cat. They're totally in the tank for the left. And even they just published an article that said it never happened. Go Google Trump Nazis Snopes. S-N-O-P-E-S. Go do that right now while this debate's going on. That would have been, because then it was concrete. Instead of this arbitrary shit they're throwing at each other. They do sound like two grumpy old men arguing. Just one sounded worse. A lot worse. But what can I say? Bumpy future. Many good things have happened recently. Hate Trump all you want. Most of the good things that have happened in the past 3 years are because of Trump. Almost every win has been a Supreme Court decision. Without Trump, you didn't get that. I don't care who, if a Republican won, they probably wouldn't even have gotten the fucking judges approved, or they would have done, like, remember Harriet Myers? Most of you are too fucking young to remember that shit. That blew up in Bush the first face, or was it Bush the second that did the Harriet Myers thing, where it was like, no, even they're probably like, no. It would have been something like that, though, but a little more passable. And so you would have got like wishy-washy right-wingers that the Democrats would have said were crazy. Like, remember the Democrats said, I was either Kavanaugh or Gorsuch. Like, I'm sure he's a wonderful person, but if you're a person that breathes air, drinks water, eats food, or uses medicine, your life is over if he becomes, like, literally that's the level of fucking lunacy these people have come at us with. But there's your opportunity, guys. Biden's debate crash is one of the biggest opportunities we have ever had to wake the semi-awake all the way to becoming awake ever. The lie is so huge, and I don't care how hard they try. It cannot be swept under the rug now. There's no way that Biden's cabinet, that Biden's surrogates, that these people from Congress that work with him, like Nancy Pelosi, we debate policy, but not really debate. We discuss policy. He's just so articulate and ahead of me all the time. He might be ahead of you. I don't know. But like, no one believes this now. Let me be clear what I mean by nobody believes this. There are people that are going to vote for Joe Biden in November, assuming he's still here. Okay? If he was dead in a casket being lowered into the ground while they cast the vote, they're going to vote for him. But even that person knows they were lied to now. There is not a person of sound mind at all. There's not a person with an IQ over 85. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in this country with IQs under 85. There's not a person in the country, though, with an IQ over 85 right now that saw even pieces of that debate that doesn't know for a fact we were lied to. And all you have to say is, why would you trust the liar? Because the real epidemic in the United States is Gelman amnesia. That's the real epidemic. If you ask people, do you believe the media always tells you the truth? Everybody with, again, IQ over 80, I'll even say. No. No. And you know why? Because everybody's well-informed about something. And when they hear the media talk about the thing that they're well-informed about, it's painfully obvious they're being lied to. But then, like Michael Crichton said, they turn the page and they read a story about something they're not familiar with, and they trust the same source that just lied to them. The lie has to be so big that you break the surface tension of that artificial reality. I believe we just had the moment. We just had the moment. The question is, will we seize upon it? Have those discussions, guys. Real quick, let me take a couple questions and then we'll wrap up. I only have two, so if you have something for me that I didn't cover, now is the time. Question all caps. I'll come back to the other comments in a second. But Empty says, Ukraine trying to sign a peace deal before the election. No. No, 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 no. Zelensky will hold out to the last Ukrainian as long as we pay him money. Zelensky will try to hold on even after Trump takes over. You want Trump's real plan for Ukraine? This is Trump's real plan for Ukraine. And I do have some back-end info that says this is probably true. Ukraine, you will talk to Russia. Russia, you will talk to Ukraine. This bullshit where each side has their own negotiating and the two sides don't talk to each other, you guys are going to talk to each other. You guys are going to work out a treaty. Trump will not cut off all funding to Ukraine immediately. He will use the funding to force the Ukrainians to talk to the Russians and say, you know, when two countries are fighting, the two people that should be talking to each other are those two parties. And if you don't have negotiations with the Russians, then I will pull your funding. Right? Do you know why Trump, when they say, like, well, are you going to pull us out of NATO? He won't give an answer. Because the answer is no. But if you're willing to leverage your position of power with the other members of NATO, you don't say that. You don't say, I won't do it. Because then they know you're bluffing. Trump is the art of the deal. So when he told them, no, I'm not defending you if you don't pay your fair share, he was never not going to defend them if they didn't pay their fair share, but he made them believe that he might, just enough they'd pay their fair share. Do you want me to explain the NATO thing to you? Again, we need analogies to understand this. People can't understand things that are that big. That's what we call, in the military, we call it above your pay grade. Like, I just don't have to think about that. I just believe what they tell me, Gelman amnesia, back to that again. But let's make a different thing. Let's say that I and five members of this audience, we rent a house together. And we all agree to pay 20% of the rent. Well, after a few years, I realize I'm paying 40% of the rent. And all these other four motherfuckers are shortchanging the rent every month. And I just cover the difference because I don't want to get thrown out of the house either. And eventually I say, listen, motherfuckers, I don't have to live in this house. If you guys don't start paying your full 20%, I'm leaving and you're fucked. You'll have to find some other sucker to come in here and make up the difference, and they might not even have their full 20%. So do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? That's NATO. Because these countries and Trump's, I hate saying these words. I feel like lightning's going to strike me. Trump's right. They're not fulfilling their obligations under the treaty. The treaty is not simplistic. The treaty is not. The nations that are listed on this treaty will come to the other's aid in the case that any of them are attacked, the end, full stop. It's not a sentence. It's a very complex, involved treaty that I believe has outlived its usefulness and should be done away with, to be honest. But if we're going to have it, then I'm back to, I don't want to play your game, but in your game, you should follow your own rules. In the treaty, it states that nations in NATO must spend, I believe it's 2%, which isn't that much, of their national GDP on defense spending, full stop. That's in there. Many of these countries are spending 1%, 1.5%. They weren't kicking in. This is not a pool of money, right? This is spending money on their own military. This is their own. If you want to be a NATO member, you spend X percent of your GDP on your own military so that we know that your military is well equipped and you're worthy of being in the alliance. That's NATO. Well, these fucking countries have been paying for fucking socialist programs by using the spread that we're making up for them, and that's been going on since before Reagan. So Trump did something about it. Good for him. But no, Ukraine will not sign a peace deal before, no. They will, the deep state's real. The deep state's the reason for this. The plan is for BlackRock et al. To rebuild Ukraine and to bring in an influx, a massive influx of North African migrants to rebuild the country because the manpower of Ukraine is destroyed. A generation has been butchered. That's what's going on there. Mike says, do you see Orange Man leaving the entire Biden cabinet intact like he did with the Obama administration? So I don't know if you're just using the wrong word there, because Trump absolutely did not leave the Biden cabinet intact. Trump didn't leave a single member of the fucking Biden cabinet intact. And it wasn't the Biden cabinet, it was the Obama cabinet. I think what you really mean is, will he leave key bureaucrats in place like he did? Because he did. He left, like, you're right in spirit, right? He left massive numbers of people in place. Like, even when he got rid of Comey, like, the deputy director just, like, the deputy director was a clone. Like, he didn't get rid, like, most presidents clean house. Clinton did it. Bush did it. Bush the first did it. Bush the first did it, and he was taken over from a friendly. Reagan eviscerated everything. Carter did it. Like, Ford didn't, again, because Ford was president for like 15 and a half fucking minutes. Nixon did it. Eisenhower did it. Like, Kennedy did it. Everybody liquidates all the top bureaucrats and replaces them with people, because what's your job as president? You are the chief executive of the country. And those key positions are the means by which you execute the law. So remember when they gave Trump a bunch of shit for saying to Comey he needs people that are loyal? The fuck you don't. The number one thing you need as a chief executive is a loyal group of fucking director level, you know, and other C-level people to send out to do the things you want done the way you want them done. They have to be loyal. I'll tell you who Trump really is in reincarnation, and not prior to the presidency. The way he handled his first term. Ulysses Grant. Grant was a drunk. He was an asshole. But he was an overall good dude. Sound familiar? Okay. At least he wanted to be a good dude. And he had good intentions. He wanted to rebuild the country. He wanted to reintegrate the South. Right? He wanted to give full rights to all the freed slaves, even though he was a racist. He still wanted them to have full rights. It's crazy, but it's true. You know what fucked up Grant's presidency? His cabinet. He wasn't a politician. He didn't know what to do. So people that got close to him said, hire this guy, hire that guy, hire this guy. This guy knows how to get things done. And he ended up with this just horribly corrupt presidency that seemed disorganized. And even though he did actually some pretty good things, he didn't really get credit for what he did that was good, because there's always been political slander. Plus, he had all this monkey fucking going on in his cabinet. Sound familiar? You have to be a student of history to pick up on shit like that, right? Or you have to at least have really good history teachers like I did when I was in school. Most of you don't know that about Ulysses Grant. But Ulysses Grant was plagued by picking a shitty, and I mean a shitty, cabinet. Explain how they got Murtha versus Missouri right, Jack. You'd have to tell me what decision that was. I don't know what decision that is. So if you want to tell me what that is, and then it rings a bell for me as to what, because I don't memorize all these cases by the name of the case. So if you want to tell me what Murtha versus Missouri was, I'll tell you they got it right. Is it something I talked about already today? Because that I'm not even going to explain how I get right, because I already did, right? But if it's some other case, let me know. Let me know. It might be the one about social media. Social media? Well, and they said that Biden can interfere with social media. They didn't actually say that. If that's the case, what they said was the federal government can give direction to social media companies as to what they want as long as they don't make them do it. So if that's the case you're talking about, that actually is a correct decision. Now, the problem is I don't believe that's what was happening. Okay? But that's what was presented, that we didn't actually make them do anything. We told them what they wanted. And the Supreme Court said, well, that's – you can tell anybody what you want as long as you don't exercise control over to make them do it. But I don't believe that's what was going on. But the case is presented. That's a legit decision. Again, somebody tell me what case this is, because I can't Google it here at the end. K-Bong says, will the Dems fix the election again? They'll damn well try. They'll damn well try. If you don't think there was fraud in the 2020 election, you're in denial. There's literally video of people pulling cases of ballots out from under a table at 2 o'clock in the morning in Georgia. We have video evidence. And this is why I give Trump kind of a pass on the whole Jan 6 thing. Because one, he didn't tell anybody to storm anything. That's all a lie. He told people to peacefully protest. That's on fucking video. Okay, but I would have been losing my shit too. Because you have literally the entire media, the entire court system going, I don't see the three monkey shit. See no, hear no, speak no, right? Oh, no. And there's fucking video of it happening. There's video of motherfuckers stuffing dozens, hundreds of fucking ballots at 3 o'clock in the morning in mailing, you know, ballot drops. There's video of this shit. There was fuckery. I'll probably get my video demonetized or fucking taken down for that. But it's true. There was fuckery afoot. And in fact, the way that you know that they cheated is how vehemently and violently companies like Google, YouTube, and Twitter at the time, and Facebook attacked anybody that said, hey, I think there's a problem here. Banned! Destroy! Ruin them, right? When you get that visceral reaction, have you learned nothing from COVID? So does anybody want to tell me Murtha, Missouri? Because if I don't see that really, really soon, we are going to move on. So Hector Doc says it was the 1A and was wrong. So that must mean that it was the one I just talked about. No, no, no. Again, you have to look at cases as presented and as argued. It wasn't argued in that case that the federal government told social media what to do and made them do it. It was argued that the federal government said this is what we want, and that, and both sides conceded that the social media companies then did as they chose. Again, I don't believe that's what happened, but if you're asking a judge to judge a case, they judge it on the case presented, and this is something that people have a really hard time with. A really fucking hard time with. Preference over, or principle over preference. I know what I prefer. I would prefer the federal government can go fuck off with telling any company what to do. The federal government tells companies what to do all the time outside of regulation and law. We would like it if you did this. We think president gets up and says, we think that you guys should build more cars that are electric. Is that illegal? Then saying to Twitter or Facebook or whatever, we think you should follow the CDC's guidelines. It's not illegal. It might be wrong. It might be immoral. but it's not illegal. And the reason you can't see that is you don't want to admit it. You don't want to see it. I don't like it either. But you make me a judge and you present me the case that way. And the person bringing the case doesn't bring me evidence beyond we said we wanted this. They only said they want. You don't bring me evidence of forced collusion. Then I can't rule that way, even if I believe it happened. This is where this country fails abysmally at the understanding of civics 101. What is the role of a judge? To judge the law as written and to judge the case as presented. Right? I don't understand. No offense. Okay, Hector, you explain it to me. You send me an email, you explain it to me, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on here and admit I'm wrong. Show me where in the case it was presented that the government used influence to coerce and force, even though I think it happened, but it was presented to the court that that was done. You do that, I'll say I'm wrong. Otherwise, civics 101, go back to first grade, start over, you know, the bill becoming a law, shaking hands outside on the cartoon, on the after-school specials. Go watch that. Go watch that. I'm sorry. Didn't have standing. State has a standing to say. They can say anything they want. They can talk to anybody they want. We can all, like, do you want the government being told they can't speak? Do you want anybody being told they can't speak? And this is the other place where I completely disagree with a lot of people on my side. Facebook has a right to censor the fuck anything it wants to. They can conduct themselves any way they want to. They can ban me. They can shut down my videos. I think that they're fucking liars. I think they're scum. I think they're doing the will of the oligarchs. I think they are the oligarchs. I think they are my enemy. They still have a right. It's their company. It's their platform. I built it. They didn't. It's not a fucking public utility. They can sense YouTube right now can take this video down. I'll be pissed. I'll point out the hypocrisy. I'll point out that they're scum. But I won't say they don't have a right to do it. It's theirs. It's that you build something. You get to decide how it gets used. It's yours. I'm sorry. Facebook equals CIA. Probably. That's what K-Bong says. Probably. But it doesn't matter. Actually, it would. If you can prove that Facebook was fully funded by the government, then it is public. And then censorship's not okay. But you got to prove that. Good luck with that. Especially a publicly traded company. When you have a publicly traded company, I'm sorry, like trying to make the case that they're a public utility when they're publicly traded, this is why, okay, guys, fucking freedom technology, you have to start using it. You're not going to fix Facebook. You're not going to fix YouTube. Honestly, even X, Twitter, it's better. It's still censored. It's still dog shit. Go try to make a post or a comment on X right now and use the word tranny and see what happens and tell me there's not censorship there, including my tranny blew out on my 84 Camaro. They'll get fucking locked up and censored. There's only right now on social media one real place with zero censorship, and that's Noster. That's it. That's the only one. Fucking, what is it? Pachyderm, whatever it is. Mastodon, right? Like, censorship. Even Telegram groups and Discord servers get censored. There's only one place there is no censorship as far as a social media experience right now. One. And one only. And where you can guarantee it's never going to happen. Noster. Why? Because you can't. You can't. You can't even delete your own post on Noster. You can hide it. Because you have the keys, you have the NPUB, right? You have the keys, the two keys that, you know, just two keys and your tribe is everywhere type of thing. So you can hide it, but you can't delete it. It's still there. It can still be found. So if you instead of whining and bitching and crying, the government is telling Facebook what to do. The government's telling every fucking company on the planet what to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. They have a right to tell people what they want. What they don't have a right to do is to make them do it. And the truth is, you know, fucking Zuckercock, he could be like, I didn't really want to do it. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He absolutely did. So if they want to bring that case back up and prove that there was beyond discussion, it has to be deeper, then maybe that decision comes out differently. But you got to understand something about the conservative majority of the court. They are originalists, especially the three Trump put in. They may not always come to the same conclusion together, but in general, they're going to be very close in all coming to the same conclusion. And they are going to do their duty, including when they don't like the decision that they're making. I guarantee you that there were people on that decision that were like, fuck, I hate this, but this is what you gave me. Or the words of John Roberts when they decided Obamacare was constitutional and could stay. Because the argument made was, it is a tax and the government has the power to tax, so it's okay. And Roberts went, fuck, shit. Okay, you got me. You got me. I actually disagree with him on that, but I understand why. I understand where he came from. I understand that all the Democrats went up and swore to God it wasn't a new tax until it passed. And then it was challenged in court. All of a sudden it became a new tax because that fell under congressional authority. And it came over, it also fell under the ability of the executive to execute once it came out of legislation. I get the argument. Disagree, but I get the argument. And so you're going to be unhappy. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be unhappy with some SCOTUS decisions. You're not always going to be excited about them. And that doesn't mean that they're wrong and you're right. That's not defending the system. That is explaining the system that we have. See, if you don't like this, then you should get on board with me. You should get on board with, if you don't like decisions like that on your preference versus the principle of following the rules, that's why we exist outside the fucking rules, folks. That's why we have the gray markets and the black markets to do our bidding. That's why all these new regulations will fundamentally alter the way in which we get around them. That's why we do status jiu-jitsu. That's why we do lifestyle design. That's why we move out of incorporated areas to unincorporated areas. That's why we do things like setting up private membership associations. That's why we build parallel systems. Because the system itself is rigged. But don't be surprised when people who pledge to do their duty and follow the rules and mean it, do it, even when they don't like it. Anyway, I didn't really want to talk about that decision because, again, I think that on a moral stance, Hector's correct, right? And I don't need to read Alito's opinion, Hector. I don't. I like Alito overall. I don't need to read his opinion. I have my own based on looking at what was presented. They didn't prove coercion. If they had, with the court you have, that would have prevailed. That would have prevailed. Everybody, even people who mean well, have a tendency to let their preference guide what they say, especially when they can dissent and they know they don't alter the decision. There's a lot of that that goes on in courts with multiple judges. There's a lot of that. I know I made the joke about Barrett and Jackson swapping, and I don't really believe that. It was a joke. But that happens. I mean, there's congressmen that they really know, like, this thing has to happen, but I want to be seen as voting against it. But since it's going to pass, now I have a free pass to vote against it. Or they vote for something when they know it's meaningless, like the Republican House voting 9 times to repeal Obamacare, swearing to God the minute that we get a Republican president, it's gone. And the minute we got a Republican president, what was gone was their spine. Everybody's subjective to that. Anyway, if you want to write me an email, Hector, proving your point, I will read it with an open mind. With that, let's go ahead and wrap up. I want to remind you guys you can help support this show and the work that we do by doing your online shopping at tspaz.com. That's T-S-P-A-Z. tspaz.com. And item of the day today is not from Amazon. It's from Vivor. I've had this one around before. Haven't brought it back for a while. It is their garden kneeler and bench. This has become, in my mind, the single greatest thing that I have done for myself in buying something to use in my garden. I will admit I'm getting older, so bending over starts to hurt now. But when you're doing a lot of planting or weeding or something like that, or working on something like irrigation, and you're dealing with what I am, which is like 2-foot-high raised beds, it is not comfortable. And when you're doing things like planting and you have a trowel and you have some fertilizer, maybe some inoculum, things get left and left behind. This thing's awesome. Sit on it or kneel on it, depending on what you're doing. And then those pouches that are on the side of it, all your stuff goes in there. I'll tell you the other thing. I said in my original write-up I was going to take it fishing. I have. It's the best fishing bench I've ever used. It is awesome for fishing. Like, everything that I need for my basics of dealing with fish and rebaiting and all that, it's all right there. I never lose anything. I don't have to clear. Like, usually what I end up doing is make the top of the cooler. I usually take a little cooler with me. And so that becomes like my table. And so then anytime you need something out of the cooler, you have to clear it all off, put it back on. It gets lost in the grass. This thing's awesome. And I'm sure there's other things that can be done with it. They're in, you know, they're priced in the 30s. There's two different sizes. There's like 36 and 38 bucks. Check them out. And definitely worth picking up. And remember, you can get 5% off everything Vivor sells using the discount code that you can find at tspaz.com, where you can find today's item of the day, all the items of the day, all my reviews. And anyway, I just want to say thanks for tuning in today and let you know about the rest of the week. Tomorrow, I jumped the gun last week. I thought we were at the end of the month. Tomorrow, I will be on early, 9:30 in the morning with John Willis and Nicole Awesome Sauce for our first Tuesday coffee chat. Then Wednesday, I have an awesome interview that I really think you're going to like, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you will be happy when you find out. And with that, I will wrap up, and I will catch you guys tomorrow with John and Nicole.
You should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.